Welcome back to Win Radio Wadsworth. It's time for our weekly visit with Mary Foster, the editor's daughter. Enjoy.
And now, Mary Foster, the editor's daughter. When Dr. Bill Nelson was called to the Foster home late at night to look at sick little William Henry, Mary Foster Lord's baby son, he advised that the baby be removed to the hospital to have a white blood count taken. In a room at the Valley Springs Hospital, shortly after midnight, Mary and her father, Henry Foster, are anxiously waiting and talking quietly in order not to awaken the baby. Henry says,
I don't know what can be keeping him, do you?
Keeping whom?
Why, Doc, of course. Seems to me as if he ought to be getting back here pretty quick with some word about that. What was it he called it?
White blood count.
Yes, that's it. What do you suppose is keeping him?
Well, they haven't had time to take the blood count yet, Dad. They can't do a thing like that in a few minutes.
No, I don't suppose they can. Seems if they could work a little faster than this.
Oh, I know how you feel about it, darling. I'm just as anxious as you are to hear, but Bill will bring us word just as soon as he possibly can. Mm. We'll get the report when it's ready. Why don't you go home and go to bed, Dad?
Well, I guess I won't.
But you're just getting all wrought up waiting, to no purpose.
No, I ain't getting wrought up either. I'm just getting a mite impatient. No use in my going home. Gracious, I couldn't sleep anyway, thinking of the little fella.
All right. But you'll be dead tired tomorrow.
I think I'll go with the bed and take another peek at him. Sleeping just as sound as he can be. Seems to be sleeping a mite more peaceful here than he was at home, too. Mary, you figure he's getting better?
I hope so, but I don't know.
Somehow it don't seem possible that a baby as young as he is could have appendicitis. I swear it don't.
Well, now, babies much younger than William Henry have had it.
Well, it don't seem right.
Well, we're not yet certain what he's got, the poor little darling. Honestly, I'll never forgive myself for not being home when he was taken sick. I should have known he was coming down with something. He wasn't sleeping right before I went out. He was very restless.
Well, I know, but he didn't seem feverish or anything then, did he?
No, not exactly, but well, that's still no excuse, because I knew definitely that he wasn't feeling right. And yet, I went right ahead out.
All right. I wouldn't feel too bad about that if I was you, child. We all make mistakes at times.
You were pretty mad when I got home.
All right, maybe I was considerable upset at that particular moment. I got over it right away, though. After all, Mary, you can't be expected to stay in the house the whole time.
Yes, I know, but oh, just a minute. I think he's waking up. How are you, darling? You waking up, are you?
You awake?
No, he just stirred. I thought he was awake. Dad, I think he's really better than he was. His little head feels cooler.
Oh, my gracious, I hope so. It gets me, I tell you, to have a little fella sick. I mean, he don't know what the matter is. He's so small and so kind of helpless. And
yes, I think he's better.
Here you are, Doc. Doc, what's the good word?
Well, the white count was a little high. However, suppose we take his temperature again and see what's what. I'm inclined to think this is merely a chronic attack.
Well, that's bad enough, ain't it?
Well, it isn't good, certainly, but he might not ever have another attack. I say might not. In all probability, he will. He'll have to be closely watched. I believe his temperature has gone down, but we'll make sure.
Then maybe we can take him home with us when we go, can't we, Doc?
Oh, no, not tonight. Do you think, Bill?
I'd suggest that he stay here in the hospital for a day or so for observation.
Oh. In that case, we better figure on getting a nurse to take care of him.
No, I'll take care of him myself, Dad.
We're rather short-handed on nurses. I doubt if you could find a private nurse around here now who'd be available.
Well, wouldn't it be all right if a cot was moved in here, Bill? I want to be with him myself.
Oh, I guess that could be arranged.
Yes, but tell me this, Mary. How in blazes are you going to be here at the hospital and still attend to running Allie's automobile business for him?
Now, let's just take one thing at a time, Dad. Right now, this is the most important. What does it say, Bill?
Well, you'll be glad to know William Henry's temperature is quite a bit lower than it was.
Oh, thank goodness.
Well, now then, my gracious, that's mighty good news. I don't know when I ever heard any better news.
It was a chronic attack, then.
I'd say so.
Yes, that is fine news. Now, I tell you what I might do. I might arrange to dig up a nurse somewhere.
Darling, there's no need of it. I'm going to stay right here with him. I wouldn't think of leaving him. You run along home and go to bed, because he's going to be all right.
Time for a short break on Mary Foster, the editor's daughter. We'll be right back. And now, the conclusion of this Mary Foster episode on When Radio Was.
Where's everybody this morning?
Well, good morning, Jimmy.
Morning, Della. Where is everybody?
Oh, I guess perhaps maybe Uncle Henry is upstairs sleeping a mite late on account he didn't get to bed too late. And Miss Lord, she's over to the hospital with little William Henry.
Over to the hospital?
That's right.
Well, what for Jiminy Cricket's sake are they doing over to the hospital? Somebody sick?
William Henry, he was powerful uneasy last night, and a doctor come over and figured they'd better take him over to the hospital and find out what the matter was. He's getting better now, though. Mr. Foster told me when he got home that William Henry is going to be back home in a day or so.
Gee, this is the first I've heard of it.
Well, of course it is. He was busy sleeping as sound as a young puppy dog, yes, sir.
Am I the only one that's eating breakfast?
Well, it looks like that. Mr. Foster, he may be down in a few minutes, but I don't know. I don't expect him down for a while yet. Say, you want to do something to keep yourself out of mischief? Yeah, beat up this here bowl of eggs so I can scramble them for you.
Okay.
You like to beat up eggs, don't you, Jimmy?
All right. Gee whiz, I sure don't like to have nobody around this house.
Well, I'm here. And I'm the one that feeds you. Now, ain't I somebody?
Sure, but I mean the rest of them. What was William Henry uneasy about?
Oh, his appendix is doing some kicking up, I guess. That's the impression I got from listening to the doctor talking, and they got to get that fixed.
It was okay when I went to bed.
Yeah, but little babies get sick sometimes, just like that. That's the way it was with him. You got them eggs beat up?
Is that all right?
Well, that looks like mighty good egg beating to me, boy. Now we'll put them right on the stove and cook them. You hungry this morning?
Well, sure.
I didn't need to ask that question now, did I? Boys your age are holler clean down to the toes.
You know something, Della?
What?
Things aren't going right around this house. Well, not to suit me, anyway.
Well, now, what's the matter now?
Well, first off, I don't like people to be in the hospital.
As far as I was concerned, people don't like to be in a hospital. At least I don't. I don't believe most folks does either. But there ain't no denying this, Jimmy, that a hospital's a great blessing when you need it. And don't you ever forget that.
Well, that's all right, but I don't like my people to be there just the same. I'm scared of hospitals. And second, I don't like that Mr. Jack Kelsey. Is he over to the hospital, too?
Him? Of course not. He's going back to New York or is going back today.
Well, he can't go back any too quick to suit me. I don't want Mary to get to liking him.
Seems to me you got on a growl this morning, ain't you, Jimmy?
Well, I don't want her to.
Well, I can't say that I blame you for that one bit. But I guess when he goes, he's gone for good. The only trouble with that, as I see it, he's going to take along Mr. George Peters with him.
George is going to New York?
That's what I understand. Now, you sit right down here and eat this breakfast while it's good and hot.
When's he coming back?
When's who coming back?
George.
Well, I was going out there to take a job that Mr. Kelsey's got for him, so they told me. I heard Miss Lord and Mr. Foster talking about it.
Gee, that sounds like he's going away from here for good.
Well, it kind of sounds that way now, don't it?
Is he going away for good?
Now, don't ask me, Jimmy. Ask Miss Lord or Mr. Foster. They's the one to tell you better than I can. But I figure he is, though. Now, go on, eat your breakfast.
Gee, I never saw such a place. Just get to liking somebody and he goes away somewhere. Darn it all.
Here, boy, where you going?
I'm going out in the yard.
Yeah, but you ain't ate a mouthful of your breakfast and... Oh, lordy me, now it's all upset, too. Oh, good morning, Mr. Foster.
Morning, Della. Gracious, I'm some late getting down to breakfast, ain't I?
Well, I guess you got a good reason to be late. Before you sit down, though, you better go out in the yard, if you will, sir, and get Jimmy to come back here and eat his breakfast.
Jimmy, what's the matter with him? He's sick, too?
No, sir. He's just plain upset. That's all the matter with him. He's all bothered about William Henry being over there in the hospital and Miss Lord not being here and you not being down to breakfast when he was, and about Mr. Peters going to New York with that Mr. Kelsey. Jimmy, he don't like Mr. Kelsey for even one little bit.
Maybe he's got a point there. I ain't sure whether I do myself or not. Although, I admit I find Kelsey sort of amusing.
You know what I think the trouble is, Mr. Foster? I think Jimmy's just plain worried about, well, about uncertainty.
What you mean by uncertainty, you know?
Well, I mean this, sir. He's worried for fear Miss Lord she'll up and get herself married one of these days, and then he's wondering what'll become of him.
Well, I suppose that could be it. It seems to me he's kind of young to be considering such problems as that.
Oh, he's old enough, Mr. Foster. And beside that, he's a pretty sharp little boy. He ain't nobody's fool. He figures things out for himself.
Well, perhaps I better have a talk with him. See if we can kind of straighten him out.
Well, the thing is, any boy that age has got to feel security. He got to be sure of somebody acting as a mother to him. Now, I don't mean that Miss Lord don't, because she most certainly do. She's a fine mother to that boy. But he's getting worried about losing her, about her getting married.
Yeah, that sounds logical, Della. Well, let me go get him to come into breakfast, and after that, we'll talk things over. The world will look better to him after he gets some of your good food into his stomach.
What Della said may have a lot of truth in it. Will Henry be able to calm Jimmy down? Perhaps we'll learn more about this next time.
You know, every now and then it strikes me it'd be a good thing if more folks was acquainted with good hard work. As things stand now, according to my observation, lots of folks, while they admit that work is the cure for unrest, they figure the remedy's worse than the disease. Well, see you soon. Bye.
Be sure to listen tomorrow for another dramatic episode of Mary Foster, the Editor's Daughter.
From the late 1940s, that indeed, Mary Foster, the Editor's Daughter. We'll have another installment at the same time and day on your local radio station next week. I'm Greg Bell, and earlier we had British-American actress Wendy Berry in an episode of the Inner Sanctum Mysteries. Well, as legend has it, she was discovered by motion picture producer-director Alexander Korda while lunching at the Savoy Grill. Her first major role was playing Jane Seymour, the second of eight wives, in Korda's 1933 film The Private Life of Henry VIII. Three of the other wives were played by Benny Barnes, Merle Oberon, and Elsa Lanchester. Well, it was Lanchester's husband as the title character, and it was an Oscar-winning role. Do you recall which Academy Award-winning British actor played King Henry VIII? I'll have the answer and then wrap up when radio was right after this. It's
now or never. Revel in Decade of Hits, the 60s, a collection of 75 of the most popular songs of the 1960s. Brought to you by MusicRewind.com. Enjoy the original recordings of some of the biggest artists and groups from the 60s, such as Ray Charles, Connie Francis, Sam Cooke, The Four Seasons, The Drifters, The Ventures, and so many more.
Please don't ever make her blue. There is a rose in Spanish Harlem.
Order Decade of Hits, the 60s, now at MusicRewind.com or call 800-206-5002 and pay only $19.98. Plus, get a bonus of reduced shipping with promo code BONUS77. Why Breaking Up is Hard to Do with Neil Sedaka, or What's Beyond the Sea with Bobby Darin by going to MusicRewind.com or call 800-206-5002 now. Remember promo code BONUS77 for reduced shipping. Decade of Hits, the 60s, can be yours today for the amazingly low price of $19.98 at MusicRewind.com or call 800-206-5002. Don't forget promo code BONUS77 to save on shipping. This offer is available for a limited time to U.S. residents only and cannot be combined with any other offer.
This is your Tech It Out Minute with Mark Saltzman.
How we pay for goods and services online and at retail is evolving, fusing convenience with security. Visa's Mark Nelson, head of consumer payment products, says Visa recently announced 7 new and exciting technologies. Mark shared a couple with me here.
But we've introduced a flexible credential whereby a single card can be what you want it to be depending on the transaction type. We've also introduced this concept of a passkey, and it's all around how do we make payments safer and easier to use online. We also announced a thing called a data token, which allows the customer to get a little bit more control in terms of where they want to share their data. So if they want to share data with a third party, they can enable a better shopping experience all through AI. And it's a way in which the consumers can have a little bit more control over who they share their data with.
More info is at Visa.com. That's simply Visa.com.
That was your Tech It Out Minute.
Welcome back to When Radio Was. Before the break, I was talking about the 1933 Alexander Korda-directed motion picture, The Private Life of Henry VIII. Four of that British king's eight wives were played by the following: Wendy Berry, Merle Oberon, Vinnie Barnes, and Elsa Lanchester, with Lanchester's real-life husband as the title character. His name, Charles Laughton, and he captured a Best Actor Academy Award for that film. I'm Greg Bell, and we're done, but hey, remember to visit us at the website, whenradiowas.com. And until next time, I bid you farewell.
When Radio Was is presented by RadioSpirits.com. This is your announcer, Bart Taylor.